Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting.
Hey,
and
it
is produced by Nick Hoffman.
It
is edited by Nur Trinette and Daniel Suss, and is hosted by Nick Hoffman, with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suss, and Nur Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license. Creative Commons slash licenses by slash 4.
Thanks for doing all you do.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye, everyone.
Welcome to My OB Movies. This week, we are finishing up the trilogy that we started in season one to round out season 10, doing Mighty Ducks 3, the one that came out during the Olympics, but somehow is not the one based in the Olympics. I am your host, Nick Hoffman, River on Cineprov, and on panel, we've got...
Alex, good to be here.
Kieko.
Lad author Matthew W. Quinn, who thinks everyone in this movie is a jerk.
Nur Trinette, contributor to Cineprov. And I just want to say this is the first location in a different spot. So you're coming live from Nur's crib.
Yeah, in 428 episodes, we have never recorded, or 450 episodes, we've never recorded somewhere else.
Yeah.
And he refused to leave his house.
And I was still late. To my own house.
So him and his Women's March pussy hat are here, and we are recording on Mighty Ducks 3. Yeah, this is a strange movie. Now, of course, we have a sports writer to help guide us through what is a 1996's, I should say, Mighty Ducks. And everything you thought you liked about Mighty Ducks is somehow missing from this movie. Including Emilio Estevez, who was on set for, 2 days? A day and a half? To say, see, your coach isn't bad. He has a handicapped child. And then he kind of leaves the family. Also, although I do have a theory on this.
Yes.
The reason he's not on this is now all the kids have hit puberty, so now they're all taller than him, right?
When he walks away at his last scene, you can tell he's very, very short.
He is so much shorter.
Very short.
No, I mean, like, Robert Downey Jr. wore, like, stilettos during Iron Man because Gwyneth Paltrow, there was a huge height difference between them two. So he wore, like, you know, same thing with Tom Cruise is, like, 5'4", 5'3", with perfect
Yeah, feet. But he doesn't have any feet, and so he's taller by proxy.
Oh, feet, you know, said?
Estevez is a Scientologist, too.
No, he said Cruise, man.
Oh. He said a thetan?
Thetan.
Was a thetan.
Well, in Scientology.
Yes.
So, millions of... first of all, the world is 6 trillion years old. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah.
And then the Lord Xenu...
A.D.
Uh-huh. Cast out all the souls out of people, and they died, as they do. Then they went into volcanoes, as they are.
Right.
And now they possess us, as you know.
Okay.
So, here's the thing. Uh-huh. When you screw up...
Right.
It's not you screwing up.
Okay.
It's the thetan inside you screwing up.
So, it's a measurement of deed?
It's like if you were an idiot and you read Freud. But here's the thing. Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
As you move up the ranks of Scientology...
Right.
You get audited, which removes those thetans.
Audited by
Tom Cruise.
Sometimes.
Okay.
You hold on to these cans. That's why Paul Haggis left and Leah Remini. It's essentially a lie detector test. And when the lie detector thing stops moving, you've gotten rid of that thetan.
Word?
So like Chris.
Yeah, word.
That's how you use it.
That was a great overview of Scientology and lines up with that episode of South Park, which basically taught me everything that I actually know about Scientology. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us about Mighty Ducks.
No, there's nothing to say. Alex, can you take us through the plot, please?
So, I couldn't even really remember what happened in the first two, to the point where I didn't even remember that Joshua Jackson was in this movie, and I like him as an actor. But so basically, they are the scruffy, scrubby group is taken by Eden Hall Academy, a swanky private school in Minnesota, and they are basically, the whole team is installed as the JV team and given scholarships and a big ceremony and... Well, they don't quite fit in. Would you be surprised? So a lot of tension with the varsity team, pranks galore. There's some consternation from the board whether they should keep their scholarships because I guess they underperformed in maybe like half the season that we saw. And, you know, a bunch of 14, 15 year old athletes are underperforming for like a few months in high school, and it's time to pull their scholarships, right? So
as you do.
Yeah. So, you know, getting almost all the way to the end, Gordon Bombay comes in and kind of saves the day, pretty much, putting the law background back to work. But, yeah, we get into the details later, but that's kind of the bare bones, I suppose.
Yeah, so
the big climactic game is they play the varsity team
twice. They always have to play it twice. Like that's how these movies were.
Sports.
But what's stupid to me is they should be playing other schools because they are still the JV team. And frankly,
well, we have the movie on in the background. Are they actually playing another JV team, or is that like
no? That's the varsity.
That's the varsity. Okay.
Or is this the? I think they're the Ducks are wearing the red, the school red.
Yeah. It that actually is weird. Seeing them and not Mighty Ducks.
That's the only other different team from a different school that we see them playing in the entire movie. And I do love at some point, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was the varsity coach. It's like, you know, varsity team. We need to show everyone that we own the JV team. That's sort of by definition how varsity and JV work at every single school in the entire country.
It starts off with that, which is that Banks, who I think is just not in this movie because he's a terrible actor. Moving on. But he gets pushed up to varsity, and that's what it would be. Like, oh, this kid's a great striker. We need him. We'll just shift him up to varsity.
Do you think that was the white privilege in him?
No, that's how varsity works.
Well, no, I mean, come on.
I had quiz bowl when I was in high school. I was on the varsity team as a sophomore.
La di da.
No, because if you watch 1, 2, and 3, he was always that preppy kid because everybody was playing in the frozen lake, and he was actually
he was the rich one. Right?
He was the rich one. He was on a different team on the first one. He was on the Eagles or whatever.
The Hawks,
the Gordon Bombay's mentor team. Yeah. And he was always seemed like an out, you know, actually I like that. He always seemed like an outsider in all the movies, and even in number two, he fucked up his wrist. And so even then he was an outsider because of injury. So even now I guess from all three movies formulas, like he was always that outsider. So I guess in this case in point, he's better than everyone.
He was always a good player, but he has no lines in this movie.
He doesn't
show up.
Yeah.
Like the, and I mean, that's kind of the weird thing about this just in general. Like, the other two movies are movies, you know, like movies.
Second one's my favorite.
Well, the second one, they're playing at the Goodwill Games, which is a Georgia thing.
Yeah.
But they're playing other schools with other uniforms, right? In that case, it's other countries. But it has a movement, right? Because what this is supposed to be, like every other sports movie, right? This is, you know, Major League or something like that. They play other teams, they get better. Here, all they do is fight the varsity team and then play one game. It's a very short movie, actually.
Well, actually, something...
And, here we go. Charlie's being... On the screen, he's being an asshole.
Well, like...
For those of you who can't see what Matt's talking about, we don't know.
Yeah. Although Charlie is an asshole at many different points of this movie.
Yeah,
and has a terrible attitude.
He is not a good leader. As far as, like, he has a hard time following.
He's, like, pubescent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that is excuse why he suddenly turned into a jerk.
Yes.
Well, something.
Yes.
Maybe.
Keenan. Oh no. Something. From the first movie that y'all didn't know, a deep cut. Jesse Smollett was one of the Ducks.
Who is Jesse Smollett?
Jesse Smollett is, as you don't know, as I call him, Juicy Smoothie or Juicy Smollett. He's one of, I think this was maybe 2019. He was on a very popular show named Empire. You know, very good. It's Lee Daniels, Taraji P. Henson, Terrence Howard. And it was like Black Glee.
Black Glee.
It was Black Glee. And essentially, there was an alleged incident. Well, it's not alleged anymore because he got convicted.
Yeah.
He staged a...
hate crime against
hate himself. Crime. Oh, do you guys...
That's what I heard of.
Matt, are you familiar with the details of this?
He claimed Trump voters, or at least they had the hats.
Right.
Beat him up and put a noose on him in downtown Chicago in the middle of it.
Yeah, at like 2 a.m., Trump guys just walking the streets.
Now, do you know who the two Trump guys were?
Friends of his?
They were like two like Nigerian guys.
Personal trainers. May had a relationship with him. It's okay if it is, but like...
That part's fun. Yeah. That's okay.
So I say this because Fox News State, they have their own like app, like Paramount Plus, Netflix. They have this called Fox Nation.
Yeah.
And they actually interviewed the two Nigerian twins, whatever the trainers, and they were like, they went down the street. He was like, yeah, we got to say this, that. So Mighty Ducks is always associated with Juicy Smoulier. So that's a little fun.
Juicy Smoulier.
Juicy. I haven't said his name right in so long that I'm just like, yeah, I said Juicy Smoothie. Yeah.
This is a big coincidence. This morning, Epic Rap Battles of History dropped a King Kong versus Godzilla rap battle, and they make a Justin Smollett joke in it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what's this have to do with
relevant
Mighty Ducks?
Everything's connected, man. I need my conspiracy theory board.
Six weeks ago, look back, and you'll see the...
Well, they'll know the day.
They'll know the exact day we recorded this, as you would.
Well, technically, a podcast is a historical document.
It is.
Nope.
That's why we're in the Smithsonian now.
Hell yeah.
Someone could quote us at DBQ.
They could.
They might well could. Ooh. They won't.
What would be our favorite quote?
A word?
No. That's not... What? I showed up, what, 3 seasons ago? Like, there has to be some type of, like...
Welcome to Movie Podcast.
just like, how you doing? So, Mighty
Ducks. Speaking of racist hoax.
Yes. Wait, why? What?
Did you say racist hoax?
Racist hoax?
Hoax.
Like, racist
being
hoax.
A racist you hoax. Put...
No, hoaxes. Hoaxes.
It's like you're finally calling me out, Nora. You're slightly racist.
Did you remember that woman, Rachel Dolezal? White woman?
She has OnlyFans.
Yeah, she got fired for having an OnlyFans account.
And I think the OnlyFans was like her braiding hair or something. Wouldn't even
no,
sexual.
No, she's naked.
Oh. Did you check it out? Or
no, I just read an article about it.
No, she's naked in that.
Was she teaching people how to braid hair while naked?
No, she was spreading for emancipation.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, she got fired from a substitute teaching gig.
Damn.
Yeah, no, she was a lecturer at the university.
Now so, like, who called her out? It wasn't
everyone.
Well, like she
American
no,
society.
She was getting away as black for a while. Until someone had called her out. Maybe was it like...
No, it became a news item on Fox.
Right.
Because she had been raised by black people. Like, she was adopted. And so she identified with them. And that's who she was until someone made fun of her on Fox.
So there's always a line with this race thing, as we could say.
Would you say a racial line?
No. You have... And actually, I was having this conversation with Savannah.
Uh-huh.
There's an Eminem... And then there's, well, I would say a Rachel Dolezal, you know, someone that's appreciated black culture and someone who takes advantage of it. You know what I mean?
Can you give me 2 more examples?
Okay.
Eminem is.
I just want to know, like.
Okay, I'll give you musicians. I'll give you
someone
musicians.
Someone on the Eminem side.
Okay.
He doesn't pretend to be black. Though.
Yeah, he doesn't pretend to be black. The black community fucks with.
He has an OnlyFriends account.
Yes. The black community embraces Eminem, but. Kinda. Well, there's some, if anyone knows who Dr. Umar is, that don't. But for the most majority of it, he can, you know, that's why, like, during the Super Bowl, they were like, no one kneel. And he was like, I'm white. I'm going to kneel. Okay, for example, like, let's put music to it. Bobby, you know who Bobby Caldwell is?
No.
The, like, what's he saying? Like, I guess you're wondering where I've been. What? What?
He said he's a mighty duck.
He's one of the mighty ducks.
Bobby Caldwell it is?
No.
Oh, no. That's a deep cut. So basically, people thought for the longest time that Bobby Caldwell was black. His music, art, and everything was just like it was like a silhouette. No one knew who he was. Up until when he died here recently, everyone was like, he white? But people just, there's a term that we says invited to the barbecue that people put out to like, hey, you invited to the barbecue. So Eminem's invited to the barbecue. Uh-huh. Justin Timberlake, be careful. He's invited to the barbecue. Bill Clinton, yes. Hillary, no. So see, there's always a line. There's always, see, you know what I'm saying? There's
if
always
took
a
saxophone,
invited
though.
To the barbecue.
Yeah. It was only if she, yeah. If she, like Hillary, like, okay, Nancy Pelosi, no. If she didn't kneel, yes. Post-kneel, yeah. No.
So like Eminem, yes. Robin Van Winkle, Vanilla Ice, no.
No. Yes, yes. There we go. Vanilla Ice, no. Eminem, yes.
What about another girl?
Give me an example.
No, that's what she's asking for.
Another girl.
Okay. A woman?
Oh, yeah. Rachel Dolezal? No.
No.
Hillary
Clinton? No.
Martha Stewart? Yes. There we go. Okay.
By dint of being friends with Snoop
Dogg. Okay. Yes. Candace Owens?
No.
No, certainly not.
Certainly not.
Certainly
no.
not.
No, no. No barbecue.
Maybe I shouldn't be that forceful in saying she's disinvited from the barbecue, I would try to disinvite.
Who else?
You don't even know if you're invited to the barbecue.
I'm probably not.
Paula Deen, before, no. She's coming back.
She's coming back?
She's coming back.
What is she doing?
She's
throwing race.
She's cooking. She's cooking. Yeah. Mel.
How is she getting back to the barbecue, though?
I'm not the decider. I already gave my invite out to another white person this year. So I can't. I'm sorry, Nick. Sorry, guys.
No. Oh. Okay, so talking about people invited and not invited to the barbecue, you said Nancy Pelosi.
No.
And it just reminded me of the last time she was trending on Twitter before it was X.
Yeah.
Was hashtag Pelosi has huge boobs. The woman is in her like 80s. And she was there's a picture of her on the beach in a bikini, and it was just like the internet was bored that day, and that's what they came up with.
Oh, here's another example:
Mighty Ducks 3.
So just one more example: Mighty Ducks 3. The main prejudice,
there's nothing to talk about in this movie.
The main prejudice seems to be class, not race.
Right. Class movie,
just because the original was the same way.
Because they hate the varsity players were all the frat-tastic types,
yes,
who hate the Ducks. Because
I thought you were talking about whether people are invited to the barbecue or not. I thought you were onto something. Okay.
The Boston Mighty Ducks. The varsity team is not invited to the barbecue.
Everyone in Mighty Ducks besides Jesse Smollett is invited.
He's not in these movies.
But he would have been invited back then.
Maybe he wasn't.
Maybe.
Jesse Smollett.
He came from a crazy... I actually want to talk about Kenan real quick.
Let's talk about the movie.
He is a star.
Yeah,
Kenan's the best.
So he appeared in the second movie as the street rollerblader. As the funny one, comic relief. So replaced Jesse Smollett.
With the knuckle puck,
you know. And I think he had a hard time. I don't know. Like this speaking on Kenan's career, it's just like growing up because he was on Heavyweights. I was a big kid. That was a cool movie. I was like, oh, that's me, Kenan. All that Kenan and Kel and like kind of that transition. I think we were talking. I don't know if we recorded this, but like he had a terrible career post Nickelodeon, where his agent like stole all because he was just going to retire, you know, after Nickelodeon. But he had to start working again. That's why.
What were the movies that you said that we saw in him?
Snakes on a Plane for one.
Was that not Van Helsing, but Van Sinking or some type of funny movie where, what was it called? But Love Don't Cost a Thing. The big one is Saturday Night Live, which he's like.
Yeah, they notoriously, I mean, I bet he's getting paid pretty well now, but a notoriously low-paying comedy gig that he's done for 22 years, I think. Yeah. He is the all-time leader in seasons by like 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah.
No one's breaking that record.
To Meadows.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to start talking because you're going to start talking again. It's a conversation, Nor. No, so this was like, Mighty Ducks 2 was the first thing he actually did.
Yeah.
This is actual first credit. And I will say, you can tell because he's the standout, right? Like, and I mean, and what you were saying earlier, like
commercials,
it's him and Jackson, and that's kind of it. And Emilio Estevez, they're the three core. Everyone else is comic relief, including that Averman prick the guy with the curly hair, the Jewish kid. He's rough. And Goldberg's the other one. But they're given one thing, which is to do shtick. Mm-hmm. Essentially, Averman is Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
But this one, they have an announcer kid, that little puckish, like, blonde kid who's doing all those bits. So yeah. Averman has no lines, and it's weird, right?
That announcer guy, I actually had to look him up because as I was watching, I kind of thought it was Ryan Gosling. I was like, is that Ryan Gosling?
He has the swoosh like he did.
I was like, about his nose. I was like, I don't know, but it's not. I think the actor's name might be like Benjamin Salisbury.
Are you afraid of the dark actor, Ryan Gosling?
Yes.
It just kind of looked like him to me, but it wasn't
house,
him.
House Club.
But supposedly he was like going to be in Mighty Ducks 4, which I don't know. Did that happen?
No, they were trying to do that forever. And then it just fell apart.
Yeah.
90s Disney was trying to do more live action kid shit to compete with Nickelodeon because Nickelodeon was killing it, like you alluded to. All that, Kenan and Kel show.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have not seen it, I know you haven't. Good Burger 2. Is a reunion cast of everyone except for Amanda Bynes of All That.
From All That.
Mary Beth Dimberg and them, like she shows up.
That whole All That crew is so great.
Yeah.
They were so talented.
Well, and I wish them only the best because, like, there was not like, again, Amanda Bynes aside, there was no one I got a bad feeling about. They were all very funny.
Amanda Bynes going through some, but you know, Gabriel Iglesias was a cast member on all that. Yeah,
and must not have been original.
I'm not quite sure, but like, I'm sorry, I keep going off topic, but there was there's so much interesting thing about just kids, TV culture now. Things, some fucked up shit is coming to light, especially with the Dan Schwimmer things with the Jenny McCurdy, the one she says what was the book? I'm glad my mom's there or something like that.
Yeah, the guy who ran all those shows,
right? What was her show?
iCarly, Sam and Cat, stuff like that. You know, so like,
which is like the second generation of the Disney Afternoon stuff,
right? But like, the cool thing is, like, I mean, I something I fixate on is like, is about the businesses and behind the scenes. But when you think of shows like All That, and we can get back to me over this, like, there was such a cultural phenomenon for Nickelodeon and that Cartoon Network tried to copy in the early 2010s. That's why they leaned on Adult Swim and not their original content, because they watched How to Do Live Action. But with Nickelodeon, the executives on the back end, they were so tied in with, like, because everything comes down to the subsidiary. So I believe it was Universal at one point, or some type of music industry. So you were having rappers like Ice Cube singing songs like You Can Do It If You Put Your Ass Into It on All That.
All That was like exclusively rap and R&B. And when I mean, as like a 10, 11, 12 year old,
it was like an
that's
SNL.
What I wanted to listen to after watching All That.
Right.
It was incredible.
Yeah. And like, to tie it in with Mighty Ducks, like, Kenan has been a part of my life and even entertainment, even now from SNL, for like 20, 30 years at this point, you know? And like, even now he's timeless. And just, it's just cool to see like his origin stories, because like, not a lot of people from the cast of Mighty Ducks have, and I want y'all to look up Goldberg right now. Look up how Goldberg, because God, like, he's alive.
He was a funny kid in these.
I think he was alive. Yeah, but like, dude, Hollywood.
So while that's going on, can you name cast members from All That?
Me?
You said Lori Beth Denberg, that's going to be one I was going to say.
The girl who I recognize, like, I know, but I didn't know her name.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, I mean, again.
Nick Cannon, not an original.
Joined in 98. It started in 94.
Not Jamie, Gabriel Iglesias was one.
He was in 2000, 1 year.
There's a comedian, the only reason why I know him, his name is Jordan.
Late.
Yeah, he had a show. It was in the later seasons and all that. It was like the last season before they canceled it.
It came back in 2019.
It did, when the cast of All That. So this is, you can thank Paramount Plus for this, or Paramount, the CBS.
I don't know if I need to thank them for anything. Yeah.
No. So they were associated with MTV, and MTV and CBS Viacom was all associated together, and so was Nickelodeon. And so Nick Cannon was hosting a show called Wild and Out, which is an improvisational comedy show that started in the early 2000s. And so Nick Cannon, being the people of All That, he was still connected with Kenan Thompson. Kenan Thompson was also an executive producer for the Nick Jr. as a push into the early 2000s. And so when Wild and Out came back, I believe in like 2018, he had asked Kenan and to get the rest of the crew to come back for All That. So they had a mini reunion, which led to Kenan and Viacom saying like, hey, let's work out a deal, in which they brought that to that show recently, All That.
I think he speeds up when he can tell that somebody's going to ask him to stop.
So I'm going to go ahead and just start mentioning members of All That to see if you remember. There's
I can't wait to listen.
I couldn't, like, you should see my room.
This is improv. You need to let other people talk. Okay, so Angelique, Katrina, and Alyssa, don't remember them at all. Lori Beth Denberg, I remember because she had that news segment, right? She did Weekend Update. You have Kel and Kenan, who started at the same time. And then Josh Server, who was the nerdy white kid.
That's the one guy I remembered. Josh. Was he the nerdy kid, or was he kind of a cool kid?
Okay. He was the tall, lean one that had the brown hair, and it was always, he looked kind of like Jim Carrey at the time. But he was the one who ended up on everything. He was on Figured Out. He was on Secret World of Alice Max. He was on The Amanda Show. And he was a voice for Oh Yeah! Cartoons as well. Then eventually he did everything. Because when you're in that Nickelodeon world, you just show up on shit. But no, case in point, Amanda Bynes joins, and then it explodes, right? Because she was a star.
She's so good.
But that was the year, 96, that all this kid power shit took over. Because that's the same year Richie Rich came out. That's the year of this one, which is the third of these, right? This is where we're hitting our apex, and those original Nicktoons all get canceled. This takes apart, because remember, this is the second kid's sketch show on Nickelodeon. It was Roundhouse originally.
I remember that one, too. Yeah. A big Snick, Saturday Night Nick. That was a big one.
And remember there was a bit where the guy had the recliner that had everything. It had a fridge in it. It had a TV built in, and he would just drive it around, which is essentially our lives now, being old and fat. But I mention it only because this was what kids' TV used to look like. This, to me, is emotional nonsense, and that shows that it's all falling apart, yeah. Right? Like, when you look at the old stuff, like Legends of the Hidden Temple or Guts, it's silly. It's like, even the first two Mighty Ducks movies are silly and over the top. Yeah. It's a casual misunderstanding that Gordon Bombay is desperately trying to get laid despite how short he is. Right? Because at first it's Charlie's mom, and the second one it's like an Icelandic broad who's a foot and a half taller than
you. Yeah, whatever happened to Charlie's mom?
Charlie's mom is easy to melt.
I mean, her and dating Bombay.
Saw him naked and it didn't work out.
No, he went pro, right? He went pro and fucked up his knee in G League.
Yeah, second one.
Can you imagine being that size, though? Because, again, he's like 5 foot nothing playing hockey against adults.
Oh, no.
And, like, I will also mention here, do you know why he's not in this movie more? Emilio Estevez is not in this movie more.
It's a contract.
1996 is Mission Impossible, where he's the little hacker guy who gets his eyes stabbed out in the opening scene.
He refused to do more for Mighty Ducks to get fucked up in the first minute of Mission Impossible.
He's 5'7".
He got bullshit.
No,
he's 5'7", standing on his tippy toes.
This is what Google says.
He got paid more in those 7 minutes on screen than he ever did for.
Well, actually, speaking on screen, I would love for us to acknowledge.
You want to talk about Hans dying?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know Hans, he's diplomatic immunity in Die Hard 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He almost always played a villain. This is one of the few times he didn't play
Die Hard 2 or Lethal Weapon 2.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, okay.
Yes, excuse me.
Lethal Weapon 2, that was with the apartheid one, right? Was that 3?
Yeah. 2 was apartheid.
Okay. That's the one with Elon Musk, apartheid money.
Oh, yeah.
No, he just made money off of part-time.
I just remember that movie, the word son of a bitch was said like 1,000,001 times.
That's true.
But yes, Han, this was actually a very emotional connection. Because like, I don't know, early on, I didn't really like lose anyone besides like Bambi. Like in as it related to TV and film.
Uh-huh.
So this was very like emotional.
Didn't we lose like the fox or the hound one? I don't know. I remember being devastated, but I don't.
Fox is still around, turns out.
Who was it, the hound?
I'm joking.
That fox.
He was also the bad guy in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. He was the one who, Nostromos or whatever. And he was the voice of the Black Rabbit in Watership Down.
Watership Down, that one's messed up.
Why?
The one for the Red October.
It's a really great children's cartoon.
For educators.
It is. For kids.
For educators.
For kids. You show it to your kids if you don't want them to sleep through the night.
For my educators.
Yeah.
Why, as a society, do y'all require kids to read Watership Down?
I didn't.
Okay, you're one of the good ones, Matt.
I never taught English. That was ever.
I appreciate you as a black person telling me as a white person that I'm one of the good ones.
Yeah, thank you. There you go.
Is he invited to the barbecue, though?
He's the one on the barbecue. He's cooking the meat. He got them Jesus sandals on now. Look, he's
already.
He has the Burks on now. He has Kiss the Cook. Yeah, Kiss the Chef.
Yeah, you can't have the barbecue without Nick. He's the best one here.
That's what it is. Nick's on the grill. But why do y'all fucking make kids that emotionally scarred me?
Teach kids about death as early as possible.
The book. So. I don't remember. The movie was disturbing as crap. The book
is not much better.
I didn't get messed up by the book.
Chris and I were talking the other day. Somebody mentioned we're watching Resident Alien. It's really funny, really cute. And
what's that about?
Resident Alien.
It's about an alien who
is a resident
crash lands on Earth. And he's posing as a doctor, and he's asked to be a town doctor. And so it's Alan Tudyk, the guy from Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah,
yes.
I love.
I was just saying.
So that's why we watch it. It's on. It's on Netflix now. He's so funny. It's very charming. It's silly, but in it, there's this kid that's giving a book report on, and it's about The Giver. And Chris and I were saying like that. I was like, you know, I actually enjoyed that. That was like probably the one book I could think of that was assigned reading that I. Yeah, I love The Giver.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't like that.
I will say, like,
no offense to you. It's depressing.
Watership Down, I classify with the same as, like, Secrets of Nim. Like, it's just, it's heart wrenching stuff.
Tiny furry animals in harm.
In harm.
My kindergarten teacher had us watch Secret of Nim. I remember being scared, very scared.
I liked
spooky.
Secret of Nim, but it is
dark.
It is very creepy.
A bunch
disturbing.
Of fucking rats fall down to their death.
Is that Don Bluth?
Yeah, it's Don Bluth. That's his big thing.
Oh, okay.
Don Bluth?
Secret of the Nim was Don Bluth.
Yeah,
I thought the big one was Land Before Time. We've done almost all of them. That's, I think, one of the ones we haven't done.
We've done Land Before Time. We've done Nim. We've done Titan A.E. We've done Anastasia. I went on that.
A Troll in Central Park.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Which is really messed up.
Which is
funny because I feel like everybody was reminiscent. Like even me, I listened to that episode and I was like, I remember loving that movie as a kid. I watched the movie and I listened to the episode of the podcast about the movie and everybody was like, yeah, that was traumatic. And it was for me to rewatch it. And I was like, why did I like that?
It's very traumatic.
And the Brave Little Toaster being a great example.
I love the Brave Little Toaster. I should have
loved it.
They liked it too.
Well, it's like when we did previous episode Goofy Movie, right?
Yeah.
So as adults, or at least a young adult, whoever... Hans died in the background of the movie now, so as we're talking about depressing things.
They can't see what you see.
I know.
How much magical Scandinavian mentors die in this series? I thought the first one died and this is his brother.
No, this is the same one. He's in all three of these.
Yeah, shit, what was I saying?
Sadness. Something about something other than Mighty Ducks 3, I think.
We have not done Secrets of Nim.
We have done Secrets of Nim for the podcast.
It's not on
the podcast. So I say,
maybe one of the first 100, because we have definitely done it.
Yeah, so Goofy Movie. So I guess as we watched as an adult, so as a kid, right? I'm just like, yo, like Max is his dad's lame, blah 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 blah.
I wonder what Five Folk Goes West is like as an adult.
Too.
But yeah,
it's okay.
We did both.
Yeah, no, I actually would love to watch Fido What's the movie title? So where he go?
American Tale. Goes west,
not east.
The original one is him in the East Coast.
And it's west.
And the later ones, he goes back to New York. There are a bunch of direct-to-video sequels.
Which one's the one with the dinosaurs in New York?
We're back.
Stay tuned. That's later this season.
Okay. I'm excited. But yes, Mighty Ducks.
Nothing to talk about.
Well, no, there's emotion.
No, we've been talking for 45 minutes. We've had nothing this time.
So it's like Seinfeld, the episode about nothing.
All of them are about nothing.
This also has Joshua Jackson as the main character, and he is in The Affair, which I believe I have asked everybody to watch.
What's The Affair about? Does someone have
an affair? Yes, but it's not what you think. It's really depressing. It's 5 seasons. It's very, very depressing. Every episode makes you feel sad and depressed, but the end is really good.
It sounds like fun to watch.
Yeah.
It is fun to watch.
He's also in the new Fatal Attraction.
Oh.
If I could be honest, I'm not big on TV shows.
White people.
That too. Hi, Savannah. Y'all know something funny that it's actually an occurrence at every job I go to?
Uh-huh.
People think Savannah's black.
That's
like just when you talk about her.
So when I talk
not
about
when I
her,
see her.
So it's like, okay, where'd y'all meet? Alabama. So it's a girl named Savannah from Alabama. She can cook. And so I think one time I was at work and then it's like, yeah, Savannah's uncle's visiting from Maine. And one of my black coworkers is like, Maine, wait, there's only white people in Maine. Wait, is Savannah white? And I'm like, yeah, for like 6 months. Because I guess I never showed a picture of Savannah. I would always talk about her, but never show pictures of her.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, even now, like I work with a lot of black girls and they're like, okay, Savannah. And they see her like, oh, she's from my caucus. And so, like, you know, it's just one of those.
That happens to my husband, too. People think that
I'm Asian. People think he's black?
People think that I'm Asian. So he talks about me. He talks about his wife, Kieko, and whatever.
What is the...
Well, people meet me and they think my wife's imaginary.
Wait, why? I don't want to laugh because and say I'm it like
unlovable.
I get it.
Because he's...
Huh?
He's saying he's, like, pitiful.
Because I'm weird.
Weird.
No, people don't think I'm in a relationship either. Or at least, like... at least, like, if they see Savannah, they were like, I don't get it. Because, like, there's so much, because there's, like,
I need to reword your sentence.
What are you saying?
Like, yeah. Like, there's no reason, like, she's put up for me.
I like Savannah. She's lovely.
No, I mean, like, I'm...
They look at her and they say, what?
No,
no, they say, word?
They were just... No, I'm just saying, I'm... No.
Word.
That's called a callback.
No, see? I'm just saying, like...
It's what jokes are considered.
I'm a lot. And but we've established that we
how
other's.
Long have you been dating Savannah?
7 years.
I've known you twice as long.
Right. And yeah. So you barely put up with me.
I do.
Yeah. You put up with me on like a bi-weekly basis.
I showed up to your house once and you've been doing this show for 3 years.
Exactly. Right. Well, that's because you didn't
because I have to carry all this shit with me.
I said I could pick it up and then drop it off, but you're like, I got it.
Well, how would that save any time?
It was more convenient for you. I said earlier.
Mighty Ducks 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Right now on the screen.
So what's happening?
Emilio! He's having a...
He's here, guys.
He's here. Emilio's
he's
here.
He's having a come to Jesus talk with Charlie because Charlie's being a real dick.
Okay.
I am not on Charlie's side at all for the whole movie.
No,
I'm on the Coach O'Brien's side. I'm on everyone else's side.
Look at Emilio's eyes.
That's why he's... That's why both of them are stars.
Pools.
They're doing that thing where they shine light
yeah.
on his eyes.
Bro, they probably only casted these two roles as like, y'all got some beautiful ass eyes.
It's okay. Just like, yeah. So, if you want me to do the film theory shit,
just
I'll do the film theory
smoldery.
Shit. No, please.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
This shot comes out from Manal. This is from Nosferatu. From, this shot is 100 years old. Nowadays, it's literally 115 years old. With the light off to the side to illuminate the eyes. And in fact, you can see the Hitchcock, they use blinders.
Uh-huh.
So it just shows his eyes like they're about
yeah.
to kiss each
right.
other.
Yeah, guys, am I wrong in feeling like there's
they're about to kiss.
No, yeah, they're going to fuck.
Joshua Jackson is 19 when this is filmed. Emilio Estevez is like 6. So like...
It makes sense. So, no, I...
By the way, the next year he's in Scream 2. That's how these movies line up.
So
this is 96. Scream 2 is 97.
So weird.
Like, because again, by this point, that's why his hair is shaggy
yeah.
long, so he looks younger.
You know, I feel like you're mentioning that, and I think I felt this. So I had kind of a weird experience when watching this. I didn't see this as a kid. Like,
sure.
This was not a nostalgia thing for me. It was firmly in the category of, like, boy movies that I was not interested in. But we watched the first one, recently, and then we watched this one. We didn't watch the second one, and
sure.
So I was a little bit like slammed with these like little greasy teenagers versus the kids in the first one.
Mm.
So anyway, yeah, they just all look really old.
Well, I mean, like the thing about the first one is Emilio Estevez is drunk driving.
Yeah.
Right? No, but that's what it is.
He's, like, yes. He's a lawyer and stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and he's from one of the big firms downstairs, like downtown. This is, you know, King and Spalding in Atlanta or, you know, Smith Gambrell. And in order to do something about his drunkenness, his community service is helping kids, which is what you want from your alcoholics.
Yeah.
Mm.
And these are the poor kids with no hope, right? And so...
Gigi Smouillet, yes.
And so what he's supposed to do is use his, you know, the power of alcoholism and shortness to teach them how to play hockey. And that's where it is, because what happens is he falls in love with the team and he supports them, right? Like, because there's these very, this movie, in fact, is more like the first one than the second one, because there's a scene where they're redistricting and they're taking away the best players and he goes and fights,
yeah.
Right? He's the one who goes to his law firm and gets the sponsorship.
By the way, didn't they do that like right before they were about to go off to a game?
Yeah.
Like they're like on the bus and the guy's like, oh yeah, by the way,
here's your uniforms.
You guys are all getting expelled.
Well, and in this one, this is nuts because it's the same thing. It's like there's a class conflict here, which by the way, and Alex knows this because he's the local sports guy, but I go to a school that's known for its athletics. Guess what? If you're a poor kid and you can play, they'll fight for you to go for free.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, they don't give a shit about anything else. Like, if you're a kid who can actually do this, and so the idea that the varsity team's like, hey, poor kids.
Oh, no. You'll fit in right away. If you can play on a team, you will be welcomed with open arms. Every elite private school does it in every state in America.
Those class pictures are
the most unusually douchebag.
You see a bunch of little white kids and then Jamal. And it's just like, that's hilarious to me.
I will say, though, that's I'm happy they did this, because nowadays the race thing would be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Because this is a private elite school called Eton, which is, well, but that's like a name. Like, Eton in England is one of the most elite schools in the country. So to call yourself Lil Eton means something. And so they have one Hispanic kid and one black kid and race.
Two Hispanics.
Okay. But it never comes up once.
Nope.
And in fact, like, also the fact that Goldberg is Jewish could come up. It definitely could. They avoid it on purpose.
Yeah.
Which is the right call for a kid's movie. But if they remade it now, that would be a thing, right? It would be like, hey, freshie, and like throwing him into the locker, and it would be a real awkward racial scene because it's Keenan, and you're like, oh, I love Keenan. But they avoid it, which is for the best, but also it makes it feel like nothing else has teeth in this.
So as the token person in this household.
Of what?
This household.
But this is your house.
But I'm the only black guy in this house. Happy Black History Month. I'm recording this on February 24th. I actually have a question, your film theory question.
Uh-huh.
In regards to the lights and before you make out and stuff. So in regards, since it's a lot in black exploitation films where they did the zoom in pan, or even when they do like a Wizard of Oz, when they're facing the show, is it all derived from what we saw in that scene?
It's from the old, like the German expressionists, because what it does. And if you watch the old black and white films, especially, it illuminates. They always do it with the starlets.
Right.
The one that comes to mind is Elizabeth Taylor. Cause she has
like
violet colored eyes. She has like kind of these lavender purple eyes. What they would do is you'd have like the door would open just enough so you'd see the lines across her face and it would illuminate. It's the femme fatale look. That's why it's so funny that it's man boy love in this.
The two things that come to mind in regards to both animation and just even in black and white was like Adam's Family.
Sure.
Morticia. It would always be, especially in...
They always do it to her, yeah.
Yeah, just like, and even especially when...
Stephen Sondheim.
Right.
Nails it.
But also, I would say, and Cinderella, mm-hmm. where they go to the evil stepmom. I guess they only played it on in regards to the shadow, but that sticks out so much to me, just that practice where you just look
see
at the
that.
Eyes. Just the eyes itself.
Okay, so... you guys don't need to know the plot of this because it doesn't matter because it's a sports movie. So they lose a game and then they have to win a game. At one point, the white people threaten to take away the minority kids' scholarship, like happens.
Mm-hmm.
But Gordon Bombay argues on their behalf. And why I called it out here is now he's arguing on their behalf, but he's walking past the kids.
He's
shorter than all of these kids. And you can tell he steps up in front of some of them, but he is so
short.
But he has all the hair that he could possibly need. So the board members are like, harumph, he has hair. And that's what you need to know.
So why did he go by Emilio, but Charlie go by Sheen?
I think most of the family really loved Bishop Fulton Sheen.
Who's that?
That's cute. You're probably right. But there's two brothers.
Emilio?
No, they're fathers.
What's his dad's name?
Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen. But they have an uncle who's also an actor whose last name is Estevez.
What have I seen him in?
Nothing.
Okay.
Because he's a B-movie actor. It's all garbage.
Come on, name him one popular of his B-movies that I might have seen.
Nor just get on Tubi and wallow in trash your heart's content.
Bingo, bang.
Wait, let me see.
No, I'm pulling it up now. Yeah.
I just want to, yeah.
But no, like, and you look at him and he looks like, his name is Joe Estevez. But he looks here to see. Oh, well, we
you don't play chess like I do.
I will say, just because we didn't say it, Emilio Estevez does get their scholarships back. Like,
after
the scene where it turns out that he's the shortest boy, that he was the puppet that wanted to be a real boy, they do end up getting the scholarships back, but then they have to fight. Like, this is where it feels more like an Adult Swim show. They're like, well, you know what? If you've got the scholarship, poor kids, well, then I guess you're going to have to earn it. Which, again, the varsity doesn't care about because...
Yeah, this dude who looks like Patrick Bateman is sneering at them.
He does. Well, but before we get into the final game, which I'm sure we're going to go frame by frame, puck by puck, shot by shot, minimize it right there. I want to talk about the side characters that were introduced into the second movie that's carried over into the third movie, specifically Keenan, of course, but specifically the Bash Brothers. We have not talked about the Bash Brothers.
Yeah. We should also mention there's a side plot here before we get to the Bash Brothers. Between Goldberg and the other goalie. What's her name?
Gaffney.
The cat. Gaffney.
She was a figure skater.
No, that's Connie.
Oh, Connie. My bad.
Okay. And we mentioned it because Goldberg has always been terrible. The joke is from all the previous movies that he's not good at being a goalie. And she is actually good. So they make her the head goalie. And so Goldberg, like you would, decides to poison her?
What? With Twinkies and and prime rib. And
she fattens him up.
Mark that up as one of the things in this movie that would be a subplot you would not see in a movie these days. Trying to put 30...
Fat shape.
Yeah, trying to make her fat so she can't play.
I'll say this just once because I mean it in the best way possible.
Sure.
This movie would be better if it was like an R-rated boob comedy because so many of these pranks are pranks that if it were, say, a movie that had teeth, it'd be funny. Like, again, making her overeat is weird here because it's a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where the dude is crawling and looking at crotches. Again, it's a strange movie because it's a Disney movie. Not that I need to see like a high school crotch, but at the same time, why do the joke if you can't pay it off? Yeah. Right? Like there's jokes they put on each other, like when they lock the varsity kids in their rooms, like, and then release ants into them.
Yeah, those poor Brazilian fire ants.
Or the varsity kids strand them at a fancy restaurant with a bill they got to pay off.
Do you think that if this had been made in the 80s, though, that it would have had like?
Sure. It would have been that, and Disney wouldn't have done it.
It would not be a Disney.
It would have been completely
different. It would be a raunchy high school 80s, like, because that existed.
Porky.
People would have remembered it then, because no one remembers the third one of these. It's the first two that they've seen.
I don't know. I always reference a Grease, like quote unquote, 30-year-olds were playing, 18-year-olds were like popping their pussies up, and it's just crazy. So I don't know. It's just crazy.
What are you doing?
During the song, not
the one that I want,
the one where there's like a slumber party and shit, they're like, go watch it again, right? They just like spread legs and all that kind of stuff. It's like, this is a G-rated movie, you know? It's just like, I felt like it was could have been Cardi B could have showed up and it could have been one of her music videos. I swear to God. But that's crazy.
It's called Tell Me More, I think.
Right.
One thing that I found interesting, and I think this is just because it was nearly 30 years ago. I mean, I guess through these movies, and they even reference it because Charlie Conway, Joshua Jackson's character, says, yeah, they named an NHL team after us, you know, to his little freshman crush. So that had already happened, and it was going strong, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
When did they make the
I think 90,
professional?
93 or 93.
So this is after...
They the first one. Very quickly after they made the first movie. You had an NHL expansion.
So did they have the uniforms, the green ones?
It was the Mighty Ducks. They dropped Mighty some years later. They are now the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, Disney got the right to sponsor the team.
Yeah, I think they owned it, didn't they? Yeah, I think they've since sold it. But I find it interesting, and yeah, it's 96, so no one cared at all about concussions. But it's through these, I guess, you know, Disney had some sort of relationship with the NHL and hockey, and they make that Averman like concussion joke. He's seeing stars. He didn't know what day it is or what his name is. It was funny then to see a 14-year-old kid get smashed into the boards. And of course, he goes back into the game. There's no concussion protocol. And so that's a sign of the times, too. I mean, concussions, maybe 15 years later, people started to care about that, and you wouldn't have seen it in a movie.
Thanks to Will Smith, of course.
Yes, of course.
Tell the truth.
He cracked the case.
Tell the truth.
I have a question for you guys about this movie. There is a scene where the coach is threatening them, and he's saying, like, if you don't do something or other.
Don't paralyze that kid.
He said, you're going to be riding the pine pony.
Ride the pine.
Yeah.
What?
The bench.
So that's what I said. And my husband, like, how do you know that?
Because pine benches sports. Are made out of wood.
Sports. Because of sports.
Sports.
We know it because sports.
Sports.
And also, I rode the pine pony a lot.
I did, too.
In the various sports.
In every sport. I was a fan of the Pine Pony.
Well, there's actually a sequel show to this called.
It just came out.
I love it.
Yeah, isn't Connie a U.S. senator or something?
Yes, she made something of her.
Yeah, Amelia
Averman did not. He did sketch comedy for a while.
Now I got CTE.
Yeah, apparently Emilio like went through some hard times.
No kidding.
And
did he try to act?
Yeah, and so like he's like this old grumpy guy that eats. Like, he owns the skating ring from the first, or whatever. There's a ring that he kind of...
Does he own Hans's shop now?
I think that's it. And it's, like, a hockey ring and stuff. And so, like, he's a grumpy old guy that's addicted to, like pizzas and cake. You know, yeah. Well,
pizza and painkillers.
They don't want to say painkillers because it's a Disney Plus show. So he's addicted to, like, the concession stand food, you know. And of course, the kids come in. They rechange his life. Blah, blah,
can
blah,
I get
blah,
a pizza with Fanta on it?
But it only lasted 2 seasons. Uh-huh. They had
Game Changers.
Game Changers. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. The mom was the mom from Gilmore Girls. Well, yeah. I didn't watch. I know she was Gilmore Girl. They CGI'd something.
Did you say Gilmore Girls?
Gilmore Girls.
Guilford Girls. Is that the British?
I don't watch that. Yeah.
Gilmore Girls.
And then they actually end up getting Josh.
Jackson.
No. Who was the dude from Transformers in Las Vegas? The actor that was named married to Fergie. Josh Dunham.
How do you say that name?
Duhamel.
He is the coach because Bombay left the kids again.
The Twinkies,
so he just left. Or like, I don't know. It's a great show. I like it because
you're really selling it.
Probably already have. Alex did a great job, yeah. But from now on, Nora just needs to introduce the movies because I don't know what he's saying at any point. It's just like, you know. So there's Twinkies and the concession stand and
you got a hat on,
dude. Hans dies, yo.
He's wearing it.
I mean, word. Hans is dead, and you know he was the guy who was always sharpening stays. Josh Jackson, the name is Charlie. He's an asshole. Shit. You know, varsity team is awful.
Oh, you are killing this. You sound just like him.
I don't know if I'm listening to me or Lord.
Now, okay.
This is how his DBQs went too.
Please,
that empire.
Future episode when we do Dogma. Please let me do that synopsis.
Okay, so Noor has a month coming up, yes. And gird your loins.
Yes.
It's really going to be something.
He let me pick all the movies.
I mean, I did it. Matt did it. Daniel's done it. You're next. And then Kieko is coming up as well. So.
What's my month called?
It's a totally normal month.
Yeah. We're workshopping it. Nerdtastic. Or normal. Hey.
Normal.
Hey.
That's what I said. It's normal.
Oh, you said that. No,
that's literally what I said. Like, normal month.
Like the kiss.
You emphasize. You just say normal.
Normal.
Yeah, just say normal. Normal.
No.
Normal.
Because
normal.
It's your name, so I put the emphasis on normal.
My name is Noor, not Ner.
Normal. Normal. Yeah,
but my name is Noor, not Ner.
Yeah, but if I said normal month, no one would get
the
joke.
They wouldn't get the pun.
You have to do the pause. Okay. It's a normal month.
To put a dash.
Well, he will.
It's a normal month.
Say a dash.
Hyphen. It's a nor punctuation mark month.
Cool.
Wait, what are you going to do for my month? I don't think. My name is not punnable, unfortunately.
Kieke Fest 2024.
No.
Oh, that seems kind of freaky. Call me.
A totally childish month.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, that was fun.
So I've noticed that the varsity coach looks like Jerry Springer. That's what? All I have.
If he had shorter hair and was shredded.
No.
Get the puck in the net. I can't do
that. Oh, gold. Look. Doesn't it?
Oh,
look like
that coach.
He does. Yeah.
Oh, shredded guy is the junior varsity.
No, there's Ryan Gosling. You're Ryan Gosling. Quick.
See, he looks like Ryan Gosling.
I only said that because you said that. He doesn't look nothing like
yes,
Ryan
he
Gosling.
He does. Look at him.
He looks like Ryan Gosling's body double.
Look at
he's lava landing it right now.
He's dude. Moonlighting it.
By the way, again, if you were the bursar's office or whatever, the board, and these fuckheads showed up in another team's uniform, you'd be pissed off too, man. Like, I'm sorry. I know that they all came from one team and they paralyzed a child. Oh. But at the same time, no. You're wearing someone else's uniform.
I guess they're like a national sensation, right?
I thought this was a special occasion, not like something.
No, it's a varsity JV thing. Every sport in the country does this. But the thing is, it's for fun.
It'd be a scrimmage. It'd be a scrimmage for a few... it wouldn't be in front of a huge crowd.
No, it would be like part of like maybe the pep rally before the homecoming game. Like, it's supposed to be fun because, again, the JV is usually 9th and 10th graders and occasionally a junior. The varsity are juniors and seniors. And so you'd be like, man, these kids might make it one day. It's supposed to be fun. The cheerleaders are hitting on them. It's how it works. And the idea that they're trying to cripple each other is a lot. It truly is.
That's counterproductive to having a successful high school athletics program, whatever sport you're talking about.
The varsity teams got their heads up their ass so much. Wouldn't surprise me.
But it's not how it works, man. I'm sorry. And again, if you were the head of the school and the varsity coach was telling you to hurt other players that are students at your own school, the guy would be gone yesterday. Again, the big sports schools around here are Manifest, but like if at Blessed Trinity, one of our rivals, they were telling the varsity football coach to put that wide receiver on the JV team into the ground, the guy would be fired and it would be a story on the local news. You don't do that.
I can, you know, there are a lot of suspend disbelief things here.
Kids were dying all the time. Clinton was president. Who cares about rules?
You had to have tension somehow. I mean, you know, in the that one game, in the only other game they played against an actual other team, which I guess maybe they couldn't afford like the you know, people who could skate, you know, young people who could skate and like be, I don't know. I don't know why they only played one game against another actual team with like Blake Academy or something.
Have we done the cutting
edge?
You
nailed it. No, no.
They just couldn't afford. They just couldn't afford to do it.
There's no budget to this movie either. Right. This is the cheapest movie by far. This is a TV movie. It even looks like a TV movie.
What's the cutting edge?
It's a guy who, he's like a hockey player, but I guess he's like injured or something. He can't play hockey anymore. And he has to do ice skating. And so he gets paired up with a girl ice skater. And
is that a Disney
spoiler,
movie?
Spoiler, they fall in love.
Isn't the chick from Shameless, Emily Olsen, like she has...
Maybe.
I briefly remember that. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Blades of Steel. That's a Will Ferrell.
Oh, yes.
Cutting Edge.
Oh, Blades of Glory? Or
Blades of Glory.
That was like Jenna Fisher's only movie.
The Cutting Edge did it first before Blades of Glory.
Cool Runnings. I will also say, at this point, Cool Runnings, a long time ago we did this. Great episode. This is when the Bash Brothers show back up, and you want to talk about something that like screams, oh, this movie has nothing, we need something to come back, because the Bash Brothers, they're just like crippling players on the varsity team, which
that
is another
player is in other stuff.
So the one on the left,
Buzz was from Home Alone, Buzz was a Nazi.
So one on the left, he plays Froggy.
Was he
from
Walking
Netflix
Dead?
Maybe. I know he was Froggy from the Daredevil Netflix series.
He was.
But I
watch that.
Don't...
Not Froggy.
It was Froggy.
No, his name is not Froggy. It's...
He's like his buddy.
Fuck, you're right, though. It is... You're right about what he did. You're wrong about his name.
Probably.
But yes, the character is Fulton, and he is a person who exists.
Shout out to Fulton wearing a Husker Du t-shirt.
He is wearing
a
Husker
Du. Because Minneapolis.
Because
Band of Brothers. He was in Band of Brothers.
His name is Eldon Henson, is the actor. And Eldon Henson was Foggy.
Foggy.
Foggy Nelson.
Froggy.
He's also in Future Potential, stay tuned, The Butterfly Effect, which is a very strange
movie. Is that the Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And also Future Potential, stay tuned, Idle Hands.
That would be more fun.
Idle Hands, I feel like I always want to lump it together with Little Nicky. Like,
yes.
I have never seen Idle Hands, but I love Little Nicky.
This past year, he was an Academy Award nominated picture, Killers of the Flower Moon, as well.
Wow. Is that the one? Oh, no.
It's a Scorsese film.
But more importantly, Idle Hands.
More importantly, future episode, Idle Hands.
I'm getting Saltburn mixed up between.
Saltburn is not good.
No.
It's very strange.
He's
also
in
PR as character Fingerless Guy.
No, I was talking about another guy. The actor's name is Michael Cudlitz, and he was in The Walking Dead, Band of Brothers. That's all I've seen him in. But he has like actual, you know, ongoing roles in those.
Oh, he's also in Gross Point Blank. Yes, he is. He's absolutely
in stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right, Alex.
The Bash brother who just joins the team, we just saw on the screen, the announcer yells into the mic, he's stripping in the penalty box because the Bash brother who just found his contract and I guess came in from Chicago and joins the team in the third period, which is totally something you could do in a high school sporting event. You don't have to be there for the beginning of the game, apparently. He gets like a two-minute major and is taking off his clothing in the penalty box. So.
Or you're not seeing Air Bud.
Well, there's nothing against the rule.
No rule against dogs playing.
Or stripping in the penalty box.
Right.
Or say, because he's a high school student, being at school that day before playing in a game, which is also totally
kind of a requirement.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, I also just love how this movie doesn't care about literally anything. Because they just need the first movie in a different place.
Right.
So the tension from a sports standpoint is that the team is completely uninterested in playing any kind of defense. Totally valid criticism from their coach, who's supposed to be like a hard ass, but it's actually pretty mild as a hard ass as far as like coaches trying to whip a bunch of kids into shape goes. So they've got a terrible attitude. Charlie like breaks his stick on a goal in one of the games. They don't play defense, as evidenced by the fact that they're up 9-0 going into the third period. Yep. And again, their only other game against another different school. And then they give up 9 goals in the third period. And, you know, as I think most of us will know, that the Minnesota State high school hockey mm-hmm. rules,
yes.
up until 2003, they played 15-minute periods.
Of course.
You guys were aware.
Yes.
They went to 17-minute in 2003. And so giving up 9 goals in 15 minutes is kind of bad defense. So they
should.
The coach
is right. Yeah.
Well, he's right.
Since we're going to the analytical, in regards to sports, and as far as game players and switching players out to different positions, in regards to Goldberg, by the way, did you see his picture?
Yeah, but actually, he's been sober for like 3 years.
Right. But when he wasn't,
yeah.
I was concerned. So what, as a sports guy, what is your take on taking Goldberg out of goal and putting him as a midfielder?
Well, he was supposed to not be able to skate at all, as
right.
evidenced by the, well, I guess the first two movies,
right.
completely, and then the opening silly scene where
the scene's about to happen. The scene's right behind everybody.
Out of control for like 3 miles, and his teammates are...
It's right behind you.
Yeah,
right
behind you. Yes.
He's so unathletic, he can't even be a goaltender.
Right.
Yet they put him as a skater, and he scores
the winning shot.
He does.
And what a great...
He started practicing.
Yes.
Again.
No, I mean, it's just...
There it is.
It's... Listen, man.
That's why we haven't talked about it.
Oh. Well, and he just screams. Goldberg, do it!
And then... Look at that.
And he hits it too hard.
And do you get free throws in hockey? Because that was a foul.
Shots.
Okay, there we go. And they win the game.
But I would say, you mentioned the one game where they were up by 9 goals. As an Atlanta fan, I know what it's like to be up 28-3.
That's kind of a 28-3 situation. Well,
but
is that the game that everybody was really like sad about?
Yeah. You mean the greatest collapse in the history of organized sporting events?
Well, hey, it's not our fault anymore. It's not our curse. It's
the fucking 49ers.
No,
it's the Shanahan.
It's the Shanahan curse. Now, so
I just thought it was weird how our, because I'm like a little bit oblivious when it comes to, you know,
sports.
But it was weird because we had our kids check up, and I don't remember when it happened, but I remember like we took either one or both. I don't remember because their birthdays are close, to the pediatrician, and both my husband and our pediatrician were both just like depressed, and they were like, yeah, it's really sad time. Like, they were like commiserating about
the Falcons.
Like, and I was like,
Me feel terrible for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not even affected by that stuff as much anymore. It just would have been cool for the city.
Right. Same. It was the same.
People
Chris
still...
also like doesn't really care that much. But yeah, it was like.
That's crushing.
And our pediatrician, he was also sad about it.
People
and
still talk about that.
Pediatrician's got sad.
It's not
about
even
that.
The city of Atlanta. People still talk about that Super Bowl like it was last year. Right. But the thing is, they keep bringing it up. And bringing it up.
Seven years.
Yeah.
Like I just did?
Yes. And I have little moments of victories. Like, okay, Tom Brady beat us, but hey, guess what? we beat Tom Brady at his last game in his NFL career. That's the small victories we got. Oh, we were going to get Belichick as a coach and just, breaks. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, we cut his break. Savannah and I,
that's just a sports term.
Savannah and I were just started a date when the Falcons had lost. And she was just like, get the fuck over yourself. You know what I mean? But she didn't understand. I was depressed. I had a friend. He got drunk, blacked out, going to the half, thinking we had won. And he said, hey, buddy, when I wake up, we're going to go to the parade.
Oh, he missed the Lady Gaga halftime show.
That's a shame.
He woke up thinking we had won because we're up 20.
What happened to him?
He died.
No, he's alive, and he's actually... actually, 5 years sober. Yeah. So, great story for him, you know, but...
Good for Goldberg.
He was so drunk.
Never drinking again.
That the Falcons made him sober. That's funny.
No, for real. I think that was a turning point. I remember when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl the first time. I was in middle school.
How'd that
happen?
Yep.
The
dog fighter for a quarterback.
I guess...
The Dirty Bird, you know, the year we got the worst...
Oh, that was before that. That was Chris Chandler. Oh, that was NFL Chandler. Legend Chris Chandler.
Alabama doesn't have...
This is not a professional team.
One, right?
No. You have a college team, which is worth mentioning, Auburn. So.
I was going to say UAB.
We went from the worst team in
Jacksonville State University.
Gamecocks.
Gamecocks.
I don't even care about sports.
We did it more than once.
And now we did twice.
Troy. Go Trojans.
Troy.
We won a World Series twice in our lifetime, and I'll take it.
Yeah.
We should have won more.
Is that baseball?
Yeah.
Yes.
I almost got arrested.
I will say, though, speaking of the sport we're talking about, I miss the hockey team. I miss the Thrashers.
There's one coming. There's another one, like really? Alpharetta area, Johns Creek. I think there's a big like hockey.
Like you said, I enjoy watching
there's
hockey.
A lot of people who like hockey.
And in time, they can go up to the Gwinnett and have the Gladiators still.
Yeah. Look, I really don't think Atlanta really appreciated the hockey team when it had it.
Not the ownership group didn't either.
No. And like, it was dope. You had Thrashers, the Falcons, the Hawks, like birds. And so, and like Braves. But, like, no, I just...
Bring the Thrashers back, dude.
Mighty Ducks.
All right, so we should wrap this up because we gave up on the movie a long time ago. Turns out that they won at the end, and Emilio Estevez was watching the whole time because he died. He's a ghost.
And it seems like half the characters are carrying on with older girls at the school, and no one knew it till now.
Yeah. I mean, we've been there. They had older girls.
Yep.
No. Actually, no. No?
Yeah, I haven't ever... Yeah.
No. Really?
Yeah.
No. You never dated an older guy?
Oh, I thought you were talking about older girls.
You were never the older
girl. You never dated an older girl?
Were you
an
older girl?
No, I never dated an older girl.
Did you ever date a younger guy?
Okay.
No.
Have you dated an older guy?
Yeah.
Well, hey, there's could be other options to that story. I
mean, dating a same-aged guy?
Yeah, same-age guy. Someone in a different multiverse universe. Someone who identifies as time not being linear. Someone...
All of those, but never an older girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have another movie to record.
We do.
So I'm going to say this is over.
Yes.
So, Alex, what are your final thoughts?
You know, I actually thought the kids are generally pretty funny. I think the whole bunch of them were better... comedically than I think I usually see in movies like this where kids are asked to do a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know what everyone else thought about the whole group. I mean, Kenan's the star. I love seeing Kenan. Been a fan for 30 years of Kenan Thompson. Yeah, it seemed like not a lot of thought or money, like we said, went into this movie. I guess they just had to like wrap up a trilogy. I mean, you know, so they beat the Varsity. Where do they go from here, like, as a team? That's like it's an exhibition game and doesn't count for anything. So, I mean, it's not like they're, I don't know. I don't know what this was supposed to tell us about the rest of their hockey careers. Nothing, I suppose.
Or maybe we have to watch the show for that.
Oh, I guess right. That's right.
About 20 years later.
I did not. You're right. Where Gordon Bombay is depressed and addicted to various things.
Oh. Twinkies.
I think the
Dairy Queen ice cream cake.
Blizzards.
that's a good kind of addiction. You want to see him slumming, have him go to Walmart.
Dairy Queen was product produced like Oh, I'm addicted to Dairy Queen ice cream scene, and he flips it upside down. It's like, get off the Dairy Queen, Bombay.
Not the worst sports movie featuring kids that I've probably ever seen. But
what's the worst?
That's a great question, and I don't have an example of that, but I feel like I've seen them.
There's sequels to Air Bud. Like those
many sequels.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Out of space.
Well, I haven't seen any of them mercifully.
I'm a fan of those.
Didn't they kill the first?
There's also
they
one.
Did not kill the dog. What happened? The dog died.
They killed him.
Did he go to space?
Between a dog dying of old age and then killing a dog.
Listen,
this isn't Milo and
Otis. That called Air Dead.
Listen.
And it's a murder. It's a murder story.
There's nothing in the rule book against a dead dog.
I will do. I will do anything for my cats.
You can't touch the ball with your hands, so you just hold.
Air Dead 2, directed by Stephen King. Yes, he's.
I think we should have ChatGPT write this up for us.
Hold on, Kiyoko.
What are your final thoughts?
Oh, that's what you want. I didn't like this movie. I didn't really enjoy it. I mentioned earlier, I was like, as a kid, I was a little bit prejudiced against sports movies. Like, once it's a sports movie, I'm just like, I don't like it. I'm not interested in it. You know, I have like a preconceived idea of what it's going to be. And I feel like this movie was exactly what I thought it would be. There were some, you know, kind of funny jokes in it. I like the brownie poop thing. But it just was probably the only thing that's really
quality
notable.
Prank.
But yeah, it was okay. It wasn't. I didn't have a nostalgia factor or anything for it, so I would pass on this one.
Bad.
Meh. I don't even remember that that well at this point. I watched it much earlier.
Matt did not prepare for the podcast.
Well, I prepared for the podcast all right about a month ago.
It wasn't memorable to him,
which makes sense.
Nora?
As a person, thank you, Kiyoko. As a person who grew up watching 1, 2, and 3, it was kind of cool to see, like, the growth, linear, parallel to what I was going through. You know what I mean? Like, not that I was in high school the same for the third one, but you know, just seeing that progression. Like you mentioned, I like seeing Keenan, just the whole story, and I'm one of those people who do like a conclusion to stories.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when they make sequels and they sequel bait it and there's nothing. I don't care if the movie's dumb as fuck. I just need the story to end. At least say like, oh, why they do this? Why they do that? So I'm glad they at least gave me a conclusion. And to answer your question, the stakes were super high for that last game because they changed the school's mascot to the Mighty Ducks. So they pulled the Washington Commanders situation,
Alex.
Where they said no to.
That's right. There was a racist Native American.
It was a racist American, but they would see how above the curve this movie was, my cat Jeff attacked Kieko's head. Overall, I liked the movie because it gave me a conclusion to a story that I had started.
Wait, is Jeff a girl?
Jeff is a girl.
Jeff's
a boy's name that identifies as a girl, yes.
In the small sports living town of Westbrook, the Westbrook Whippets middle school basketball team is the heart and soul of the community. Despite the passion, the team has faced a season after season of heartbreaking losses. That is until the arrival of an unlikely hero, a ghost dog named Buddy, a former beloved mascot with an unfulfilled dream of leading his team to victory.
Yes.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
I feel like you should correct the prompt and be like, no, not a ghost. A dead dog. Like, this is not a ghost.
I mean, so my final thoughts on this is everything Alex said. I feel like it's not the worst of these kids' movies. I just went, it felt like a sports movie more. Frankly, it's more about Charlie being an asshole and these kids trying to fit in the school than them actually playing the game. Like, the first one was like, the first one is kind of also based on Rocky. Like, let's do unusual training regimens that are kind of fun. And like they start that here, and then the coach stops it because again, it's utter nonsense. But if it's going to be this is utter nonsense, we need to see more games being played. So this movie feels like maybe they couldn't get enough people, like they couldn't get enough athletes, they couldn't get something. Maybe there was no budget for it. But every aspect of this movie feels like it was short shrift. Like that they didn't want to fully make it a high school movie. They didn't want to make it fully an athletic movie. They didn't want to even fully make it a snobs versus slobs movie. They just couldn't decide what the movie was. But it's also the third in a trilogy of kids movies, so how can I blame them? It's just very noticeable that they didn't have anyone that like they killed the one real actor, Josh Acklin, and then Emilio Estevez shows up like a fart in the breeze. Like, and then he's gone. But he's like he's been here the whole time. But anyway, we're out of time. We'll come back next week and do another episode. At the moment, it's slated to be Rollerball, 1990-somethings Rollerball. An episode we recorded a long time ago.
It's really great.
LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Is back.
Is back again on the show.
Back again.
So stay tuned next week and every future week as we check in with some old movies and see if they're worth watching. This one kind of was. I guess it exists. If you have Disney Plus, you could do worse with your afternoon. Bye, everyone.
Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nur Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Nur Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, Creative Commons/licenses by /4.0. Thanks. Thank you.